Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Joined now again by Michael Zaharif, the co-founder of Luxity, who joins us on the line. Such a pleasure to speak to you, Michael.
Great to be back with you, Kuzu.
Oh, always excited to touch base with you. I must tell you, after our conversation around luxury, many, many people asked me about the shoes, the clothes, the handbags. But I guess today we're going to talk about jewelry. So certainly going to leave our audience a lot more educated on this one. But let's start there, Michael. Just understanding the market when it comes to pre-owned watch and jewelry in South Africa. Just how big is this market?
Well, I think the pre-owned watch and jewelry market is certainly a very large market. I mean, I'm pretty sure many of your listeners would be quite acquainted with this market in some way or another, because when we think about pre-owned watches and jewelry, we think about, you know, my mother may have passed away, she left some family heirlooms, I might have taken them to a pawn shop, etc. So this market has existed for many, many years because it's kind of founded in the, you know, the value of the materials of what I inherit, sometimes what I buy. You know, we're used to selling some old gold rings or watches, etc. And generally, you know, the market is defined by these pawn shops where you take it, they weigh it, and you get the value of the material. And of course, as we all know, generally the value of silver, gold, precious metals, you know, these things that watches and jewelry are made out of, tend to appreciate over time. But recently, with the rise of pre-owned luxury brands, we've seen this new category to the market, which is pre-owned luxury watches and jewelry, where not only are you getting the benefit of the value of the materials which the, you know, watches or jewelry are made out of, but you're also getting the brand value. So when you're selling a Rolex, you're not selling the Rolex for its gold value, you're selling it for its brand value. You know, yes, when the gold value goes up, the Rolex has become expensive, more expensive at least, but at the same time, Rolexes will become more expensive year on year on year because of the demand. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the luxury market of pre-owned, you know, watches, jewelry, the brand value combined with the appreciation of the material value.
And I think that's important for us to remember, the brand value, because essentially that's where the opportunity actually lies. So maybe talk us through some of the top luxury watch brands and typically how they vary in terms of value over time.
Yeah, so I think the thing that really makes luxury more valuable than other items is the exclusivity. So, you know, it's not just another watch you can buy. It's about the exclusivity. And when we're talking about the high-end watch brands, for example, Rolex, which is essentially the number one highest valued watch brand in South Africa. Of course, there are more niche ones, but Rolex is the highest value commercial watch brand. It's like the Louis Vuitton of watch brands, for those that don't know. You know, it's really about creating this huge amount of demand and a very limited supply. So, you know, some of your listeners might have walked past a jewelry store that sells Rolexes and they would have noticed that in their windows it says, you know, these Rolexes are for display purposes only. It's because you can't just simply buy a Rolex by walking into a store. Normally, you could buy one of the entry-level models. If you wanted one of the more specific models, you need to, you know, enter a wait list, wait many years, build up the purchase history. So it's creating that exclusivity that really drives the price up. And what tends to happen is that with certain watches and certain models and certain jewelry and certain models, because they're so exclusive and so limited in addition, as soon as you can find a new one, you can immediately sell it on the second-hand market for more. So, for example, Rolex Submarina is trading at around 200,000 Rand brand new. If you could acquire it, you could sell it on the second-hand market immediately for 260,000 Rand. So there's that immediate effect of, you know, the appreciation of the value because of the outside supply. Sorry, outside demand versus the supply.
Yeah. And maybe that's another thing that we actually need to remember is the marketplace that one actually finds for this. And this is where Luxity thrives, right? So are there multiple marketplaces or different options for us to explore?
So internationally, the watch and jewelry market is actually one of the oldest in the pre-owned sphere. So there are many, many cases in terms of watches specifically. You know, you have Chrono 24, which is a market leader. It supplies, you know, essentially collates watch prices across the world. So in South Africa, we're definitely trading on par. You know, it's a regulated market to a certain extent, because the grey market, there's so many dealers that participate on the internet that the prices become almost, you know, in sync in a way. So when the market crashes internationally, it has an effect almost immediately in South Africa. What does happen in South Africa, however, is there's like a slight lag, and that lag can be positive or negative. So sometimes, because the local market takes a little bit longer to adjust to the international market, when the market's going up, you might benefit. When the market's going down, you might benefit. So there's always a little bit of, you know, if you really do your research and you know which way the market's going to move, you can make some money. But again, it's quite a niche business. And we always say with luxury, it's better, it's a long-term investment. You know, when you look at, it's like gold.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to predict the market. With luxury, it's also very difficult to time the market. But in the long term, what we tend to see is that the market does increase, like with materials.
100%. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, because that's probably what a lot of people might be asking, that, okay, perhaps I've bequeathed or inherited a luxury watch from a loved one, my grandmother, my grandfather. Perhaps I've had this watch for a while. Perhaps it's not in great condition. Perhaps it is, but I don't know where to get it repaired or how it can be taken care of. How else is it that we also find support systems or structures or aspects that provide the maintenance and even valuation of the quality of the watch? What's that market like?
Yeah, I think most of the dealers, you know, the reputable dealers like Luxity, we're not looking to make a quick buck off you. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a reputation to protect. We want to make sure that we're giving you a fair value. A lot of the time, like, for example, we always offer our clients cash and consignment. In the case of consignment, we're taking a percentage of what we sell that item for. So it's not in our interest to, you know, give you a low price, because our percentage take would be lower then. So we want to make sure that we're giving you a realistic take for that, you know, that item, making sure that we tell you, you know, it's worth this much. This is realistically what it can sell for today or in the short term. And we will take our percentage. So we're essentially partners in that item. And at the same time, we'll advise you. You know, we'll do a service on your watch. We'll clean it. We'll get it in the best condition possible. So it's really about finding the reputable dealer, someone you can trust. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, you know, the age-old saying is, if the deal is too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is in this kind of industry, where, you know, there are a lot of people who talk big, but what you want to do is go with someone who's reputable and you can trust and who has the history.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because that's also an important thing. How do you identify a legitimate dealer? Is it like the markets where there's an FSP number or some kind of professional body that you align to?
So there isn't, actually, and I think that's what makes it so difficult. You know, you have pawn shops on the side of the road. You have, you know, big companies like Luxity that have multiple branches, and it becomes more and more difficult. And I think that's about, you know, regulating the trust. I can't give you an exact answer. I think, you know, in today's world, it's a lot about reviews. It's also a lot about, like, what you're looking to achieve. You know, are you looking for someone who's going to make you jump through a million hoops to get you the best price? Are you looking for ease of a sale? Are you looking for the security of a sale? Those are all questions as a company that we try optimize on. But of course, there'll always be someone who can maybe do something a little bit better in one aspect to us than another aspect. Mm-hmm. So as Luxity, we try, you know, get a holistic approach. But at the same time, you need to find what works best for you. But the most important thing is to make sure that the company that you're working with is reputable. You know, you can Google them. You can see some positive reviews. They have a physical presence. If something goes wrong, you know who to go to speak. You're not just dealing with someone over WhatsApp, because there are so many scams out there. So those are the kind of basic things that I would say make sure you check for, you know, as a standard to ensure that you're not going to end up, you know, regretting a decision.
Mm. But Michael, let's get to the juicy bit now. I'm sure a lot of our listeners want to know, well, what's the highest value one could actually gain from a luxury watch? So is there a range that you've worked with as Luxity?
Well, I mean, luxury watches sell from, 50,000 rand all the way up to 2-3 million rand. So, you know, it's really a huge market when you're talking about it. And, you know, the good thing about watches is that, when I compare to handbags or shoes or accessories and other items that we've started making a market for, is that there's so many more dealers and it's so much more established that the commission is much lower. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with a handbag, the dealer's commission might be 50%, whereas with a watch, it's generally around 25 or 20%, which can be the movement in a year. So it's really about identifying, number one, what are the popular models and brands or characteristics of certain watches that are going to hold value over time. And most of it has to do, to be honest, with what's the lowest in supply and the highest in demand. You know, it's very basic market characteristics. So mm-hmm. you find a Rolex, you look for a sports model, which is in low supply. And then on top of it, you look for a color combination, which is difficult to find, looks interesting. Maybe the market's going towards that. And if you can find the right priced one like that and hold on to it for a year or two or three, you can easily make 20, 30, 40% return, you know. But it's about understanding that, you know. You have to be an enthusiast. You have to do the research. I think your previous caller was talking about reading. You know, you need to know what you're doing. It's not as easy as just gambling. Well, I mean, it can be as easy as just gambling, but then it's just gambling. So, you know, that's why the people who are making money in this industry are enthusiasts. They're people who were lovers before they were investors. And I think that's something that's important to understand.
That's so true. And that's important to actually understand the craft and actually have a passion behind it before you look at the financial opportunity. Is that, I guess, critical so that people don't just go into this haphazardly thinking and treating it like gambling, as you mentioned, you know, really understanding the value, intrinsic value of the asset before just riding on the wave of trying to make a quick buck?
Well, I think most people who are investing, whether they be investing in stocks or watches or whatever the case is, have a passion for it. You know, they have a passion for understanding it outside of just having a passion for making money. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. Like, if you don't have the time and you don't want to put in the effort to understand what's really going on and what's driving the market, how do you ever really plan to make money? And the same concept applies to watches and jewelry. The more you understand, the more you're really passionate about how the industry works, what gets the industry ticking, the more money you all make at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So that's what it comes down to.
Got you. Michael, I think I'll be taking a look at my watch collection shortly. And maybe that's another thing we need to clarify. Often people say, hold on, if you have a luxury watch, it's called a timepiece, not a watch. Is there correct terminology around this?
Well, I couldn't answer that question, but I'm sure there's someone that's way more enthusiastic than me than could.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Michael. Such a pleasure speaking to you. And I guess for anyone who wants to double check the quality of their watch, whether it does hold value, especially if it's one that has been passed down over generations, they can pop by Luxity just to have it evaluated, right?
Yes, of course. We're always happy to do a free evaluation. You can pop your watch in, or jewelry, or handbag, shoes, or accessories through to our website, luxury.co.za, or come through to any one of our stores in all the biggest provinces.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you as always, Michael. Glad to touch base with you as always.
Great chatting to you, Google.
Thank you. That's Michael Zahariv, who is the co-founder of Luxity. If you're not familiar with them just yet, Luxity is a well-known South African and African continentally based local pre-owned luxury reseller. And over the years, we've been speaking to Michael and his team essentially about the growth that we've seen in terms of the pre-owned luxury market. It's been growing and expanding by more than 8% annually, and of course reporting a 32% increase in the sales of watches and jewelry. Now, do yourself a favor. If you want to actually learn more and immerse yourself in some of this data and information, do log on to the Kaya 959 website. On our YouTube channel as well, you will be able to revisit a conversation I had with Michael Zahariv recently, talking all things around the business of luxury. We literally gave you a snapshot into the consumer trends, the growth in the favorite items, how this contributes to the economy, believe it or not. And of course, you can't ignore the concerns around counterfeit goods. But because they work as a reseller, only dealing with authentic goods, there's also a whole process to make sure that you upskill, you train, you develop individuals who can authenticate and, of course, value and evaluate the quality of goods. So it's a plethora of themes. And just as a reminder that there's always a business story to any and quite literally everything. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to have an intriguing conversation that your human capital management, HR professional, even line managers would want to pay attention to, because we're going to talk about quiet quitting. It's one thing to have someone just be completely absent from work, but nothing worse than having a colleague or a counterpart or someone in your team who's present in the building, but you just can't tell or see what it is they're doing. We'll give you some perspective on this.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.